Hi, it's Karen Webster, and welcome to The Matchmaker Is In. Today, I'm joined by David Evans, author of the book by the same name, Matchmakers. David, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Karen. Always happy to be here. Sorry I missed a few.
Well, I'm glad that you made it. It is the last day of the first month of 2017, so better late than never.
And today, the year of the rooster. That's great.
The year of the rooster, among other things, which we won't talk about today. But David and I today are joined by Josh Wexler, the CEO and co-founder of Rev Cascade. Josh, thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here.
So, Josh and everyone listening, we love these programs because it gives us an opportunity to dig into the mechanics of businesses that are terribly complicated to establish and scale. We call that ignition. But once they do, are awfully elegant businesses to look at and really observe how they've been able to transform a space that had a friction that these matchmakers have solved. And you certainly identified an opportunity to solve for a friction, and that's what we'd like to examine in more detail today. So Rev Cascade is a platform that enables e-commerce players to take advantage of a $700 billion phenomenon called online marketplaces. So tell us how you do that and the friction you observed and Rev Cascade is solving for.
Karen, I would be happy to. I think maybe providing a little bit of context, we saw this massive market that you alluded to where, you know, Amazon's marketplace, Alibaba, eBay, really dominate e-commerce. And then on the flip side, you've got traditional retailers who are, frankly, in a free fall with their brick-and-mortar businesses struggling. You know, just this week, Wet Seal announced they're closing all their stores. The Limited recently announced they're closing all their stores. American Apparel, you've got department stores closing lots of stores, not all of them, but sort of contracting. So you contrast these marketplaces that have essentially dominated e-commerce and brick-and-mortar retailers who now are all seeing tremendous growth in e-commerce but are playing catch-up. And what we have created at Rev Cascade is a platform that enables any retailer to essentially launch their own marketplace, to essentially amplify what they do as a business and sell an extended aisle of products that essentially will allow them to generate more revenue by offering a much, much, much broader selection of products without having to carry the inventory like they would do in their traditional wholesale business. And when you build technology to enable that, you essentially are looking at all the friction that exists in a marketplace or in a dropship business. And that's what Rev Cascade really unlocks. It removes all the friction so that any retailer can launch their own marketplace or dropship program, and any brand or manufacturer that participates in these programs can actually take advantage of the sales channel that is growing more and more every month here in e-commerce.
So just to get tactical, the opportunity is for these retailers that also have an online presence to add to their inventory without really adding to their inventory. How do you do that? How do you help them do that?
So on a tactical basis, the first thing that our platform enables is it enables for a retailer to select the vendors or brands or manufacturers that they want to work with. Then once those vendors are selected, our platform automates how all of the product and inventory information moves from the brand to the retailer. So that's information like product name, SKU number, shipping dimensions, colorways, bullet points, obviously inventory, whether it's available to sell or not available to sell. And then once that information is then curated by the retailer, meaning they're not just taking all of the products, but they're curating and merchandising each of those brand's products, we then move all that product data from the brand to the retailer so that they can then sell that additional assortment on their e-commerce site. And then once an order takes place, we move all the transaction data back and forth. So we automate connections, merchandising, and transactions in one end-to-end process that enables a retailer to launch and scale their own marketplace or dropship program.
And one question on that, Josh. So who does the consumer interact with? Or to put it a different way, so a retailer signs onto this platform, they get all this cool inventory management stuff. Are they at that point operating their own standalone e-commerce site and trying to drive traffic to themselves? Or are they getting integrated into a larger marketplace that you operate? Or are you facilitating something that enables them to more easily participate in existing marketplaces like Amazon?
So we essentially enable, on a business-to-business basis, brands and retailers to connect and manage their own dropship programs. So a retailer is able to, on a seamless basis, extend the products that they offer to consumers. And they remain in total control of the consumer experience. And it's not like there's all of a sudden a new link on one of the retailers that are using our technology. It's not like there's a separate link that says marketplace. It is literally part of the products that they offer, much like on Amazon, right? Like when you search for a product on Amazon, you're not searching separately for products that are in Amazon's marketplace compared to products that Amazon owns on a wholesale basis. And that's, we've essentially democratized that so that any retailer can really tell their story, extend their product categories, extend their product offerings within a category, work with new brands that they might not carry in their stores. It's really a very seamless way for them to significantly increase their e-commerce revenue.
Well, it's also an opportunity for brands to get distribution through established online sites as well. So if I'm a cool, you know, hand cream product that needs distribution, I might take advantage of your platform if there were someone who wanted to show a pretty cool new, you know, fancy schmancy hand cream as part of their assortment, as part of their product lineup.
Yeah, that's a great point, Karen. We also help manufacturers plug into existing marketplaces and dropship programs. And on that side of our business, we have tools that help those manufacturers manage their retail connection, whether it's Amazon or Jet or Wayfair or Houzz. We help them manage their product data, their inventory updates, and their transactions. So it's really one integration for a brand or manufacturer that enables them to plug into any marketplace or dropship program that exists today. And much like we remove friction for retailers looking to launch and scale their own marketplaces, we provide a similar service for the manufacturers where they're able to plug into any of the marketplaces that they choose to work with.
How did RevCascade get started? How did you zero in on this problem?
Well, it's a really interesting background. My original co-founder, Andrea Tobin, was building a brand called Marla Cielo in the sort of handbag and accessories market. And Andrea was approached by lots of marketplaces and lots of dropship retailers to sell her products. And my first company that I started a long time ago was in the retail industry. So I would periodically get together with Andrea, and she'd tell me about what was going on in her business. And when she described all these marketplaces and dropship programs, I said, wow, that's awesome. You have all this distribution. much like you were just saying, Karen. And she said, yeah, in theory it's awesome, but in reality it's super manual to manage all of your product information. You have to upload it or fill out Excel files for every single retailer or marketplace. You have to upload your images one by one or fill out an Excel file with all your image links. If you sell out of a product, you have to manually log in and remove that product from being available to sell on each of these retailers or marketplaces that you're working with. And then if you get an order, you have to re-enter that order into your own system. It's very, very cumbersome and it doesn't really scale. And when she described that, we just kind of looked at each other and said, you know, there's got to be a platform that makes this super easy for brands and for retailers that removes all of this friction. And that was really the light bulb moment that caused us to start to really just nurture the idea. And then along the way, we met with one of Andrea's mentors at the time, a guy named John Harper, who's the president of Macy's. And we described our idea to John, and he basically said, you know, hey, every retailer is going to be launching a dropship program or a marketplace. And I think at that moment, we kind of went from, wow, this could be a really powerful idea for smaller brands, to thinking, wow, this could actually unlock a tremendous amount of revenue for really any brand and any retailer. And that's when we brought in some of my former colleagues from the Rubicon Project to be our co-founders, including Julie Mattern, who is Rubicon's co-founder and CTO, Kyle Stainer, who is Rev Cascade's head of product and really worked hand in glove with Julie at Rubicon to help Rubicon build one of the largest ad exchanges in the world. And then Samantha Henderson and Matt Meyer, who really were pivotal people in terms of helping Rubicon build out its products. Matt co-owns a patent. Sam created one of Rubicon's fastest growing products. So we really kind of took a lot of our learning from building Rubicon from launch to becoming a public company. And we applied those learnings to how we're now building out Rev Cascade.
That sounds like an incredible team, but it also sounds like you must have had a tough challenge getting things off the ground. I think Karen and I are curious how you started that and how you solved the chicken and egg problem. Did you start with the brands? Did you start with the retailers, or try to work with both of them at the same time? How'd you get the thing ignited?
Yeah, well, I'd say that this is a pretty massive undertaking from a technology perspective. So we really
focused on you're building a lot of software for both sides, right?
Exactly. So we built essentially a holistic solution that could work for either a brand or a retailer. And we built that on a series of APIs that would enable us to integrate with all the disparate systems that exist on both the brand side and the retailer side, whether it's product information management systems, financial systems, EDI technology, existing vendor portals on the retailer side, just a lot of connections from an integration standpoint. And once we had that framework set up, to your point, there is a chicken or egg problem, and what we initially focused on was the vendor side. And we found a sweet spot in the furniture and home goods market, which is a vertical where there's already a tremendous amount of marketplace activity and drop shipping. If you think about how successful Wayfair has been, Houzz is another fast-growing marketplace, Overstock, Jet.com, Amazon, One Kings Lane, all the department stores. And we essentially rolled out a suite of tools that were quickly adopted by lots of manufacturers in the furniture and home goods vertical. And we now plug those manufacturers into nearly every marketplace in the furniture and home goods space. And with that base, we then started to speak with retailers. And we spoke with Karen last November, right after we announced that Crate and Barrel had selected Rev Cascade to essentially launch its dropship program, its curated marketplace, where they're now offering an extended aisle of products that are dropshipped from their vendors who they've selected on an invitation-only basis. So Crate and Barrel was our first real marquee retailer that is one of our customers. So when we plug a vendor into Wayfair, we're really, the vendor is our customer. But in the case of Crate and Barrel, we help them manage their dropship business. And because we built our solution on an API core, Crate and Barrel was able to quickly integrate. They actually integrated to our technology in 3 weeks. Their tech team is actually pretty amazing as well. And they were able to launch within 60 days. And it's just been an incredible ride thus far. So we're now really building out that vertical, and we're starting to see adoption in the apparel, accessories, and footwear verticals, which are sort of the next wave of growth that we see inside the platform.
Josh, I have a question about what the implications of this, you know, amazing capability that you're enabling these retailers to have on their physical store business. So I'm a Crate and Barrel customer, and I have, you know, way more options when I'm shopping online than when I'm going into their store, which I'm probably not doing with great regularity anyway. Isn't this further driving the demise of feet inside of the physical store because the selection is just so much better online now?
But I think, you know, taking the specifics of Crate and Barrel out of it, just thinking of it on a macro basis, you know, you look at how successful Wayfair has been. They sell 6 million products that are drop-shipped from over 9,000 manufacturers. And when you look at any brick-and-mortar retailer, there's just not enough physical space to sell 6 million products. So I think if you are a successful retailer today, you know, you just have a really an incredible opportunity to offer a broader assortment that you curate that reflects the sensibility of your store. And, you know, if you're a retailer today in any category, you know, let's say you're a high-end boutique for footwear, like you may be able to carry, I don't know, 200 to 300 different styles. But in the footwear category alone, there's literally over 1 million different styles from all the different footwear vendors that are in the market. So online, you just have an opportunity to offer a much broader assortment that you just can't physically carry in your store. So I don't look at it as if it's leading to the demise of brick and mortar. I look at it more as consumers are everywhere. And mm-hmm. if you're a savvy retailer today, you need to be able to offer those consumers the products that they may be looking for, that whether they're in inventory in your store or in your warehouse, you want to be able to capture that consumer's intent, and creating a marketplace or a dropship program is by far the best way to do that.
Is this also a good platform for let's say me? If I have a great idea for creating an online retail store, is this mainly for brick and mortar stores, or does it also provide a lot of capabilities for someone who wants to get into a new line of business and set up a online retail store without going brick and mortar at all?
Oh, absolutely. We have pure e-commerce companies leveraging our platform today. We see the opportunity for influencers to leverage our platform to go into social commerce. We see publishers with the opportunity to offer an e-commerce experience that reflects their editorial point of view. We see social commerce as being a huge opportunity. There's just lots of ways that we think the market is going to evolve. You've seen the proliferation of buy buttons come to be, and I think what has held that part of the market back is the ability to manage all of the product data, inventory data, and transaction data in a scalable way. So when you think about the ways that commerce is going to evolve, in order to manage the actual information that would unlock those opportunities, we sit right in the middle of that. So I think there's just a host of ways that we can help both brands and retailers generate more revenue, whether they are brick-and-mortar retail or sort of the new age of direct-to-consumer businesses that are popping up online today.
Certainly part of the way you are able to do that is by looking at, you know, the massive data trove that you must have in looking at the kinds of things that are selling, the things that aren't selling, things that are selling faster than other things. How much of that analysis do you provide to both the manufacturers and to the retailers in helping them further tweak their product and inventory selection for their customers?
Yeah, that's essentially, once the integration is done and we are enabling you to expand or create your own dropship program or marketplace program, our dashboard is where you see all of the data as it relates to who you're doing business with, where your orders are coming from, what products are selling, what products aren't selling. If you're a retailer, which of your brands or manufacturers are doing really well? If you're a brand or manufacturer, which of your retailers are performing really well? And it's, all of this data is super actionable. It can inform how you're designing and developing new products. It can inform what products, if you are a brick and mortar retailer, you should be carrying in your stores. And I think that, you know, the data that is out there for brands and retailers through these types of programs really helps them better optimize their business in general. And that is really, I think, the next level of this. It's really how to optimize your business, not just from a revenue perspective, but also in terms of the trends that are happening in your business, because the feedback is immediate. Are people looking at your products? Are people buying them? It's just an added layer of visibility into what products and or categories you should be developing in your business and how you can best maximize the opportunity.
But as you look out across all of those endpoints and see things like, you know, yellow widgets are selling in the South, are you able to provide input to your collective base to say, if you have yellow widgets, you might want to direct them to people in the South? They seem to like them and are buying them today, and they're not buying blue widgets, they're buying yellow ones.
Absolutely. We are pushing that data to our customers on a daily basis. If skinny jeans are to go out of style, we will know that likely before anyone. So to your point, like, we have incredible visibility into real-time trend data that just benefits the ecosystem that is on our platform today. And we expect that to only get more powerful as we're able to see more data come across the platform.
So as we, this has been a fascinating conversation. The time has gone so quickly, but before we let you go, I mean, clearly the inspiration for doing this came out of your co-founder's experience in trying to get her product distributed, and certainly your own experience with creating a matchmaker business in the advertising space. But as you think about other matchmakers that you look at and admire, are there those that have created inspiration for you as you've built out Rev Cascade and as you think about where it's going?
Oh my God, there's so many amazing examples, whether you think about, you know, Airbnb being the largest, essentially hotel company, and they obviously, you know, own no real estate. You think about the big social media players who are now the largest publishers in the world, yet they actually create no content. But really on a more specific basis, we look at companies like OpenTable, who initially built amazing tools. Jeff Jordan, who's now a partner at A16Z and was the CEO of OpenTable, he described their businesses like originally they signed up restaurants who came for the reservation tools. And then as they built this massive restaurant network, those restaurants then stayed for the network that drove reservations to those restaurants. So originally it was the tools, and then eventually it became the power of the network. And that's super inspiring to my team at RefCascade, because we see so many direct parallels to us providing tools today that eventually will create network effects for all the brands and retailers that adopt our platform.
Karen, of course, knows that's music to my ears, since Dick and I used OpenTable to open up matchmakers. It's just an incredible example of a highly successful matchmaker, and one of the early ones that a lot of other companies have emulated. So I'm glad you pointed out the OpenTable.
Totally. Great example.
One final question, and David, I'm surprised you didn't ask this question, but I will, because you generally do. In terms of how you create governance throughout your platform and weed out, you know, the bad manufacturers, bad being, you know, don't deliver on time or constantly running out of inventory. Is there a mechanism?
Retailers doing bad things to my brand.
Right. How do you create that mechanism inside of your platform, your marketplace?
So inside the platform today, there's benchmarking on all of those tangible business rules. And I would say we have focused on the mid to high-end segment of retail in general. And we've built technology that enables a double opt-in. The retailer is opting in to work with the brands that they select or invite to work with them. And then on the flip side, the brands are selecting which retailers they choose to work with. And then within the functionality of the platform, we're providing them with visibility into, are they shipping on time? Are their returns percentage? How does it compare to the rest of the platform and the data that we see? So we've built these tools that enable both brands and retailers to control their business rules and then measure their performance. And certainly if we see people that are not living up to the business rules that they've opted into, it's part of our role and responsibility in making sure that they're aware of where they may not be performing up to the standards that they've agreed to. But ultimately, the brands and retailers are in control of who they work with, what products they make available for sale, the pricing, their business terms, whether it's more of a wholesale model or a rev share model, and we then provide them with visibility into all those metrics within the dashboard that we've created that sits on top of all the workflow that we automate.
Quick question, and then we'll wrap. 2017, what's on the roadmap?
So we are in the process of rolling out functionality that will enable international capabilities. So that includes currency conversion, metric conversion, international shipping carrier integrations, because that's part of what we automate on the platform. We have some projects that we're working on that will help retailers drive more traffic to products that they source on our platform. And then we're in the process right now of rolling out technology that will enable essentially any brand or retailer to join our network at literally no cost to them. And essentially that will enable this ecosystem to flourish in an even bigger way, and we'll have more to say on that in the next month or two.
Wow. Well, Josh, thanks very much for joining us today. It was great to get inside the business and to understand really its power and potential for helping not only retailers keep up with what is, you describe, a changing phenomenon for them and seizing the online opportunity, but also manufacturers and new products to find great distribution for those who want it. David, any final thoughts before we let Josh go?
Nothing in particular. I mean, I really enjoyed the conversation. It sounds like a really exciting business, and love to talk to you sometime more about your experience at Rubicon, your ad exchange company, because that's also an incredible success story. So congratulations on Rubicon, and good luck with the new venture.
Thanks so much. Hope you guys have a great day, and really appreciate you giving me a chance to talk to your audience.
Thanks very much, Josh and David. Until next time, thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Karen. Bye-bye.